You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Always great to get to have time together and enjoy good conversation. Today, we're going to talk with some of our friends at Lutherans for Life and a particular group of people they're working with. Lutherans for Life certainly affirms life and works with people of all ages and appeals to people of all ages, but a special emphasis for our college students and helping them address questions and issues that they face in their generation and how they can be life-affirming today and in the future as well. So we're going to talk about a recent event that they held, their campus ministry student leadership summit. So I hope you can stick around for the conversation. We're going to talk with Laura Davis, as well as a student who attended the summit this past March. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for being for supporting Worldwide KFUO and specifically Faith and Family. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. And drop them a note. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me in studio today, Laura Davis. She's the director of Y for Life at Lutherans for Life. Welcome back to Faith and Family, Laura.
Glad to be back. Glad to be here in the studio this time.
It's great to have you in studio today and have a chance to talk face to face. I love Y for Life. I love the idea of it. I love what you're doing with Y for Life. But for our listeners not familiar with Y for Life, what is Y for Life?
Absolutely. Y for Life is the youth and young adult program at Lutherans for Life. So Lutherans for Life is an organization that works with Lutheran churches, schools, individuals. We equip them on life issues so that they can speak in a gospel-motivated way, so they can reach the world, so they can reach their communities and touch them with that message of God's love and how he loves life and how he calls each of us to be his child. So we take that message and we bring it mostly to high school and college students. That's really my focus. These are the students that are dealing with these issues very personally. They're the ones with the friends who are struggling. Maybe they're struggling themselves, asking these questions, being bombarded by a media that tells them something completely different than what they've grown up learning and grown up listening to. So we love the name Y for Life because it has that question in it. And that's the question that those students are asking. Why should I be for life? You know, what makes what you guys are saying the right thing versus what I'm hearing at school or what I'm hearing on TV or at the movies or whatever. So why do I need to be for life and what do I do about it if I am? We want to do more than just tell them what to believe. We want to show them how they can live it out, how they can make a difference.
Young people today are growing up in a world with so many different worldviews. Obviously, we've all grown up in a world with many worldviews. But the voices seem louder today because of all of the technology and the seemingly increasing global society that we live in with social media and just media in general. We hear so many voices, so many perspectives, so many worldviews. It's hard to find the truth in the midst of all that. So thanks be to God for the opportunity for Y for Life and the work that you all are doing to provide that voice, to bring that truth to light in the middle of all the crazy voices that are going on out there that are conveying messages, especially to our young people, but to people of all ages, that these messages that confuse us about what life really is. It's important for us to stick to the truth and what God says about life. So thankful for that. And so with this recent event, the Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit, it sounds like it really focuses in on those college students. Tell us where the idea for the Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit began. Has this been going on for a while?
This is the second year we've had a campus ministry program. When I first started at Lutherans for Life, that was one of the things they told me they wanted me to do. They wanted me to have an outreach to college campuses. Lutherans for Life has various groups that serve a grassroots system around the country with life chapters and life teams and churches. And we wanted to do something like that for students.
Sure.
So for the first year, we just brainstormed a lot of ideas, saw what might work, what's worked for others. And really, the idea came not from me, but from someone else. A student from Concordia, Nebraska. Her name is Hillary. I met with her at their school, and we started talking about how we could, how they got their group started, what inspired them, what worked. And from that conversation, we came up with this idea of, rather than me constantly going to different schools and trying to find people, we'd bring the people to us, bring them all together, so they'd have not only a support group of their peers, but mentorship and training, and just that good foundation before they went back and did the work at their school. So our idea was to reach out to campus ministry staff, professors, contacts we had in our Concordia system, ask them to identify students they had worked with that they thought might be good leaders, interested in life issues, passionate about serving, and invite them to a summit, a weekend where they would meet each other, learn about life issues, learn about what it means to start a group, all the nuts and bolts of that kind of thing. So we did that. The first year we had 8 students come, representing 5 schools. This year we had another 8 students come. Only one was a returner, so that was really good.
So a lot of new students.
So not necessarily from new schools. We had the same schools represented this year, with the addition of Concordia, Wisconsin, but new students. So bringing in new leadership, as obviously in colleges, there's a lot of turnaround. So bringing in next year's leaders or the leaders who will be coming up in the next few years. So really making sure that we're not just starting the group and leaving them hanging, but working with them throughout the years to encourage and equip them.
Why is it important that we start with student leadership? Why is it important that you work with student leaders to equip them to go back to their campuses?
There's a few reasons why I think it's so important to focus on students. First of all, once again, they're the ones that are talking with their friends about these issues. These are the ones that are dealing with them head on, especially when you talk about beginning of life issues. So I don't know about you, but when I was a high school or college student, if my parents told me something or my teacher told me something, I might listen. But if my friend told me it, someone I loved, trusted, respected, I was more likely to listen to their advice. And if I had a problem, it was very rarely my parents the first person I went to. I would go to my friends, the people I cared about at school first. So I think our students are the same way. You know, you're dealing with this crisis. Your parents are in another city. You don't know what to do. Who do you go to? You go to your friends, say, what do I do? And if your friends have the right answers, the life-affirming answers, they're more likely to get the help they need rather than going somewhere that wouldn't help them. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that if you think about our university system, we're preparing these leaders to go out all over the country, all over the world. Yeah. And so if we can equip them while we've got them in a one place at one time, then when they go off to their calls or they go off to their jobs, a lot of our students are not going to be church workers. We've got a really good mix. When they go off to serve wherever that is, they can take that message with them and it just kind of spreads organically. They have this opportunity to reach so many more people than I'd be able to reach in this one position.
Sure.
They have that chance to spread it across the whole world.
Exponentially. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, that this isn't about church workers. This is about every vocation under the sun, equipping every Christian, every person to speak the truth when it comes to life issues, to be life affirming in their daily lives, wherever they go, confirming the gift of life. Well, let's talk with one of those students joining us by phone now, Lydia Wallace. She's a student at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Lydia, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you with us this morning. And thanks for taking time out of your schedule today to chat with us here on Faith and Family and have a little reunion with Laura today as well.
Yeah.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi. Great to hear from you.
You too.
Well, Lydia, tell us, what are you studying at Concordia University?
I am a nursing major at Concordia, and I just got done. I'm my second year nursing major, so I just got done with my gerontology practicum.
So you're tired.
Gerontology.
After a long year, I know that the nursing program is a challenging yet rewarding program. I know that it takes a lot of work. So congratulations on making it through second year. And you took some time out of your schedule as a student this year to come to the Y for Life Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit. Mm-hmm. What prompted you to do that? Why did you consider coming to this Student Leadership Summit?
I had really gotten involved in the Students for Life group here at Concordia, and I was thinking about becoming leadership, and I actually will be in leadership next year. And so I just thought, you know, I really would like to get into more and see what we can do as a campus and as a group to bring more awareness and talk about this issue with people around us. So that this opportunity came up, and I was like, yeah, I would love to come and learn more about this and see where I can be an influence in people's lives and in a group. So.
And who were the other students that attended with you? Were there any other students from Concordia, Wisconsin?
Yes. Another student named Jonathan, and he came with us, and it was just the two of us from Concordia, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And he and I had a really great discussion, too, you know, prior to this and after this. And so it was even, we didn't know each other too well before we came, but after, you know, we have really become close friends, I would say, too. So,
what questions did you have before the summit? What were the things that you were hoping to learn about at the summit that what were you hoping to gain from this event?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things for me is learning how to talk to people, how to communicate and convey what it is our message is and what it is that we want people to understand from that message. And so I would say that I really learned how to bring up the topic, mm-hmm. how to talk to other people about it, and then how to ultimately spread God's word through that. We're dealing with an issue that it's very touchy in our society. It's very touchy and personal in to people who have gone through this. And just to be able to say that, you know, no matter what, Jesus died for you, because even while we were sinners, you know, that is just, I think that's the ultimate thing that I got out of this and learned.
And that's certainly the most life-affirming thing that you can share with someone, that Jesus died so that you may have life,
right.
That you're that valuable to him. Well, did you get your questions answered as you came with your questions and you came with anticipation? Did it help prepare you think for this coming year as a student leader?
I would say it did. I was worried about, or not worried, but wondering about what things we could discuss in terms of life issues. And Laura gave us so many resources, and she is a resource herself that we can use, and she just supports us and our groups. We were able to, I mean, it's great that we can get together with other colleges. We were able to, like, bounce ideas off of each other, and there's some things that I learned from the other groups that I'm probably going to take to my group and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So that was great.
Laura, give us an idea of what did the schedule look like for this event? What were some of the things that, I know there were obviously a lot of conversations happening. What all happened at the summit?
Yeah, it's interesting because I always have a plan for how I want things to go, and then God always does something different. The first, it's a 3-day event. So they come in Friday afternoon. We attended a conference all day Saturday, and then they were heading out Sunday after lunch. So my plan for Friday was just get to know each other, fun games. I had all these board games and things like that. And one of the girls asked a question, and then that just started it. And we ended up talking for about, I don't know, 2-3 hours. Lydia, you can remind me.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah, different ideas, different conversations. One of the girls had some very personal experiences that she shared with us, and we helped her kind of work through her thoughts on that. So it was just very organic on mm-hmm. Friday night. Then Saturday, we actually teamed up with the Coalition for Life St. Louis, that handles 40 Days for Life here, Brian Westbrook and his mm-hmm. organization. I had been working with them for over a year on this recent Nexus Student Life Conference that they had. And so when we are in the planning stages for that, I said it would be perfect to host the summit that same weekend. Mm-hmm. So we attended that. I was a speaker for that event, and we had our students were able to participate, go to the workshops they wanted to go to, hear from the speakers. There was a great Sanctus Reels concert in the afternoon. But that was the chance to really focus more on the life issues specific, mm-hmm. Some of the more nitty gritty details about different ways to get involved, whether it's sidewalk counseling, sidewalk ministry, things like that. And then once again, we planned on Saturday night doing some fun stuff, and it turned into just more discussion,
sure,
which was just wonderful. It was not what I expected, but just to hear the insights from these students, I always come away learning way more than I think they learn. And just challenging me to answer those questions better, to find the information to help them better. And then Sunday we had a couple of team members from the Concordia Seminary Life Team joined mm-hmm. us for lunch, and they talked about their experiences with the Seminary Life Team, what a life team looks like in practice, especially a student life team, because mm-hmm. it's different when you're dealing with students and the turnaround, and especially at Concordia, their turnaround's even more sure. than a normal university. So they came and shared their experience, and the students were able to ask questions and once again just get to know each other. It's not a super structured event mm-hmm. in terms of we have to keep this agenda. My goal is really just to build community, mm-hmm. to build relationships so that when one of our students from Austin goes back and tries to start their group there in the process of starting their group there at Concordia, Texas, if they run into a problem, they don't just have to come to me. They can, but they can go to Lydia, or they can go to Elena in mm-hmm. Michigan. They can go to all these different students that have had this experience, and they can talk through these issues themselves. That's really the goal of the event.
So that informal time, with it being a smaller group, really lends itself to building a network of support.
Right. And that's our goal, is to stay a small group. We plan for 15 every year. That's our maximum. Mm-hmm. So we can have up to 15 students, inviting one or two students from each of the Concordia campuses. We're looking in the next year to maybe expand that to some of our non-Concordia mm-hmm. Lutheran sure. campuses, trying to bring some different groups in. But we want to keep it small. And if mm-hmm. that means we have to branch out into different events, different ways of doing that, we'll have to look at that. But I think keeping it mm-hmm. intimate, that chance to open up with each other, really be personal and real with each other, is really important to their development.
The difference between a convocation and a summit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lydia, tell us about some of those, the informal times. We'll also talk about the Nexus conference as well. Tell us about just some of those informal times, getting to meet the other students and talk with them and hear their stories.
Okay. It was really great to get to, as a student, you know, we tend to be rivals with the other Concordias. You know, it's just, this is ours is better. No, but
it was like CIT, right?
Yeah, CIT, yeah, exactly. But it's really great to get to come to an event like this and really come together in our faith and in our locations and see different perspectives and get to see how we can reach out to others, because we will come in contact with people that are from a different worldview, and just to see all those pieces come together really is great. And so I would say we really, as a group, got to meet each other and get to know each other and bounce ideas off of each other. I know there's things that I took from Concordia Chicago's group that I would like to implement here in Wisconsin, and just different things like that. So.
Well, what are some of those things that that you learned at this event that you think you would like to try to implement in the
right.
coming year?
So Concordia Chicago has a week where they have different speakers, and it's just a life week. And we tend to spread things out, and I thought it would be great if we could do a life week and have speakers come in and just for a week, once a night, different speakers on different topics with life issues. And get the campus aware of what's going on in this realm. So,
were there any speakers from the Nexus event that really stood out for you?
Yeah, there was this really great. We all kind of agreed that this one speaker, and I'm blanking on his name, but he really talked about some great ways to combat the pro-life, pro-choice argument, and how how we can, terminology is important, and how talking about what are you talking about? So defining what is the unborn, what makes human life valuable, and then what do we do now that we know what those things are? And so he just talked about, you know, this idea of SLED, so size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. You know, all these ideas of how, what is it, size that makes us human? Is it our development that makes us human? So just really getting to the core of the question in this debate, what is human life? And I think the most important question is what makes it valuable?
I believe that was Mark Newman that we heard from Speakers for Life.
Yep.
So it really equipped you with some things to think through and help you articulate what you believe and what you stand for in the public square when having conversations, whether it's one-on-one or in a public conversation as well.
Right. They really helped us see and see things from a different, you know, I learned things that I had the general idea, but to actually have words to what I was feeling and seeing and thinking was really helpful. And can that help you bring forth a conversation with someone?
Sure. Anything else that you can take away from this summit or from the Nexus Conference, take back with you, or anything that just you think has helped prepared you for next year in your leadership as a student leader there at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Right. So I would say just, you know, showing love. Love was a big thing for us. And for Lutherans for Life, we have the gospel, like Laura will tell you. And that is a great foundation for us. And it's really how we should be driving every issue that we're dealing with. And so just learning to speak out in faith, but in love as well. And so I think I can take back so many things, just so many ways to talk to people, ways to get people involved, and just bring a community aspect as well through all of this, and keep in contact with Laura and with Lutherans for Life and with the other Concordia systems. So that's
what I was going to ask. Do you feel that you have a connection now with those other student leaders from other campuses that you can share your ideas with them and stay connected with them throughout the year?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we have social media now, and so Facebook, we've all become Facebook friends. And, but we're, you know, we have that contact and it's great, and we can really use each other as a support system and, get, you know, information and help and prayer and, you know, everything. So,
well, there's the true test right there, if you're a Facebook friend or not. That's the true test.
The official. Yeah.
Lydia, how does all of this, why are these topics, especially life issues, why is this important to you, particularly with the vocation, the future that you've chosen, you know, being a nursing student? How does this impact your education as a nursing student and your future career as a nurse?
Right. So I just got done with gerontological studies, so that's the elderly population. And we talk about end-of-life issues daily. And it's something that, you know, it just strikes me that we tend to push aside life issues in our very beginning stages and in our very end stages. And it's just important that we all recognize that God has given us this life, and He has a purpose for us. Even when we're in our old age and we're in a nursing home, God loves us, and He has a purpose for us and a plan, and you're living it out. And you might not know at that moment what it is, but it is a plan for you. And this has really helped me equip me for my role as a nurse. The importance that I will probably daily deal with life issues. I know that one thing I brought up was suicide issues too. That's that's a big issue, I think, in our society right now. And just reminding people that they're not alone, and Christ is there for them. And when they reach out, there are people there too. So,
what's your recommendation to, if a student is recommended to attend this summit next year, what would you say to those students who might be considering attending next year?
I would say that they really need to be open and willing to listen to all the things that come up. I know we had some really great discussion. So, you know, and I would say bring a pen and a notepad, because I wrote down many notes. So, so that was great. And then just be willing to listen and bounce ideas off of each other and use each other as a support system.
Very good. Laura, do you have any questions for Lydia as we wrap up our conversation with her today?
No, you've just made me so proud. I'm over here with a $1 million smile on my face.
Well, Lydia, thank you so much for your time today, and congratulations on making it through another year in the nursing program there at Concordia, and for attending the Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit, the Y for Life Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit this year. Thanks for your participation, taking that back to campus and using what you've learned in the coming year for the students there at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Very much looking forward to working with you next year, Lydia.
Yes,
and every year after that.
Yes, very. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, so it'll be great.
Great. Keep up the good work, and give my regards to Deaconess Kim Biltman there at Concordia University, Wisconsin, too.
I will. I definitely will.
Thanks so much. Take care, Lydia.
Yep, thank you.
Laura, hearing Lydia's comments and just her involvement in the event this year, and now excited to go back to campus and implement some of the things and share some of those ideas and see what she can use from that summit to help equip students on campus to be life-affirming in everything that they do, no matter what their vocation. To hear Lydia's comments, obviously you're grinning from ear to ear here.
I'm so proud. This is kind of the realization of a long dream, not just of me, but of people at Lutherans for Life for years.
Sure.
And Concordia, Wisconsin, I have to disclaimer, they've been doing life ministries for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Their Students for Life group has been very well established. But when I started this event, when we started talking about this event, right away I said, we need to get Concordia, Wisconsin here because they have students with experience.
Mm-hmm.
They have a context. We can learn from them. And so Lydia and their context and her work with them was very helpful for us. But then to still hear that she benefited from this, mm-hmm. that this has influenced her ministry, not just what I did, but the other students mm-hmm. and the experiences they had, that's what we wanted. And to hear it, you know, said so clearly, mm-hmm. So well, just really emphasizes to me the importance of the work we're doing, the need to keep doing it, to mm-hmm. keep doing it better. To keep improving and growing. I have a lot of work to do.
But it is good work. It is good work. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversations here on Faith and Family. We'll continue talking with Laura Davis, Y for Life, Lutherans for Life, and the Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit not too long ago here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions, and there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Oregon was the first state to legalize assisted suicide. A physician can legally prescribe a lethal poison if the person has less than 6 months to live. Not to worry, they said. We have good safeguards to protect the people of the state. If that's true, then why did the latest report show patients were killing themselves with two-year-old prescriptions if they supposedly had only 6 months to live? But those running the program aren't going to let irregularities like these slow them down. Instead of following the guidelines, they're proposing a change to match closer to what they're doing. We can learn from the Netherlands' earlier experiences. Now, they're euthanizing children, and a full one-third of doctors say they would euthanize mentally ill patients. History is repeating.
Life issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
In our 75th year, we are blessed at Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service with all that the Lord has helped us accomplish, and we are especially grateful to the churches and New American Ministries who took part in our anniversary. As we continue the journey, take a minute to learn more about Lutheran's special history of welcoming the sojourner through our celebration video at lirs.org/historyofwelcome.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
It's okay if you miss a program on Worldwide KFUO because you can download them as a podcast at your convenience. There are so many programs at Worldwide KFUO that are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss one of them. You can download one or all at KFUO.org or subscribe on iTunes. That's KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Oregon was the first state to legalize assisted suicide. A physician can legally prescribe a lethal poison if the person has less than 6 months to live. Not to worry, they said. We have good safeguards to protect the people of the state. If that's true, then why did the latest report show patients were killing themselves with two-year-old prescriptions if they supposedly had only 6 months to live? But those running the program aren't going to let irregularities like these slow them down. Instead of following the guidelines, they're proposing a change to match closer to what they're doing. We can learn from the Netherlands' earlier experiences. Now, they're euthanizing children, and a full one-third of doctors say they would euthanize mentally ill patients. History is repeating.
Life issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Today we're talking about the Why for Life, Lutherans for Life, Campus Ministry Student Leadership Summit. It took place not too long ago, back in March. We're talking with Laura Davis. She's the director of Why for Life. And just had the chance to talk with Lydia Wallace, one of the students who attended the summit. She's a nursing student at Concordia University, Wisconsin. It was so encouraging to hear her speak about this, attending the summit, and what she gained from it, what she can take back to the students, and just how she appreciated the opportunity to connect with other students. And it sounds like that's really one of the main goals of the summit is to connect with other students. Now, how do you... what do you hope they'll take back with them to their campuses? What are some of the things, what were some of the ideas that came up in the conversations that some of them are already doing that you'd love to see happen across the board on these campuses?
So I get two of the more common questions I get are, what can we talk about? Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, when they think Lutherans for Life or when they think life issues, they automatically think abortion. But in some schools, that's probably not the best place to start, mm-hmm. that there's been something in the past, some experience, negative experience, that shouldn't be where they start. So I help them kind of work through, well, what should we talk about instead? How can we talk about life issues and build that foundation without necessarily going straight to the mm-hmm. bullseye? So, for instance, there was a group out at Concordia Irvine that had some issues. And so when we're working through that recovery period, we talked about stem cell research. We talked about different things like that, doing more service-oriented projects, activities. So to rebuild that trust and that confidence and mm-hmm. that faith, and they're just thriving, doing a great job. So that's one thing. What can we talk about? How do we go about talking about these sensitive issues in the best way possible? And then what do we do about it? So a lot of what we talk about is ideas for activities, ways to get the campus community involved in service. So things like community baby showers mm-hmm. for local pregnancy centers, really encouraging them to do sidewalk ministries, to go out to their local abortion clinic, not necessarily to be a counselor, but to pray, to be that witness, equipping them to find the right speakers, to work with their advisors, things like that. So a lot of it is detail-oriented stuff, you know, introducing them to the resources. You'd be amazed. I feel like we talk about our website all the time, and yet you'd be amazed at how many people don't know what's on our website. So we spent a whole, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes of me just going through the website and then showing them all of the different resources that are available to them on there.
What are some of the things on the website?
Yeah, we have so much on our website. Even I am like, oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, that's on here?
Yeah.
I get that too from time to time.
Right. The first thing I really want to highlight is our Teaching for Life online course. We've developed a Teaching for Life program for parochial schools to be used in our Lutheran schools K-8 or pre-K-8. But we took that and we developed it into an online training course for high school and older. So taking those key concepts, there are 9 of them. I wish I could tell you all of them off the top of my head, but including things like creation, the Trinitarian value of human life, dealing with beginning of life issues, how do we love both, you know, mom and child, end of life, what do we do, how do we deal with suffering? All of these are all these key concepts.
Sure.
Which seems like really heady topics when you're talking about kindergartners, but you'd be amazed at what they can handle, and it's very much on age-appropriate level. But on this online course, we get a little deeper. So there's a Bible study, a very deep Bible study, not just a surface study. There's little short videos of people asking questions, those tough questions about things like in vitro fertilization, birth control, those topics that we tend to avoid. Mm-hmm. So those questions, and then good answers for those questions, and then a digging deeper section where you can, if you want to learn more, different links to resources throughout the internet. So there's 9 units. You can do 1 unit at a time. You can just pull out the Bible study presentation and sure. do that with your group or whatever.
So is this something, this is a resource that it sounds like you could use with a life team group, mm-hmm. a group of students at one of the universities, pull out this resource and use it for a study or a conversation starter at least.
I try to tell them that you don't have to bring in a speaker to educate your campus about a life issue. We've got the resources. You call me, I can give you PowerPoints. We've got all kinds of different things we can do. This saves you money. And then they're learning from their peers, which you may not have all the answers like a speaker who's been doing it for 20 years would have. But sometimes it's good to say, well, I'm not sure. Let's look up that answer. Let me get back to you and have that humility and things like that. So I told them that's a great place to start. If some of my students, they're very passionate, but they don't have all the information. I was like that. I was very gung-ho. I love life. I love babies, but I didn't know 90% of what was going on in the world. And so I said, start there for your foundation. There's resources for your ministry. And then just exploring all the other stuff we have available.
It sounds like a really great resource. And I'm glad you brought this up, that it's something that you can use. You don't have to spend a ton of money to bring it. Not that it's not that there's anything wrong with bringing in a speaker. That's a great thing too, to hear from a speaker and hear their perspective, or maybe they bring a valuable life experience to the conversation. But how easy is this? It's a downloadable resource online. Is that right?
It's online, accessible. We tell people not to use Chrome. There's been some issues with Google Chrome. So if you're looking at using it, use Firefox or something like that. But yeah, it's just, it's online. It's not necessarily downloadable, but it's hosted online. You can find it on our website, Teaching for Life Online. It's usually one of the banners at the, the top of the screen. It's pretty easy.
How neat is that?
Yeah. And it was developed using different Lutheran school teachers and different good sources from across the country who contributed to the material on there. So it's very solid, theologically solid, very good.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that there are resources. You're not just sending these students back and saying, okay, now great, go go do something, and not giving them something to take back with them, and providing them the resources to do that. And not just for these students, for these student leaders, but also, as you said, for high schools as well, and, or life teams at a congregation. This is a great resource. Right. What has been the feedback that you've gotten from the students who have attended, you know, last year, this year? What are some of the responses you've gotten from those students who have attended, like Lydia?
One of the first things that comes to mind, the response that I get most often is that they feel, they don't feel alone anymore. Leadership can be lonely sometimes. You feel like you've got all this responsibility, all this weight, and you don't know what to do with it. You feel like you have to carry it all by yourself. I know I felt like that many times. And my job is to come and take some of that weight off of their shoulders and make them feel like they're not quite so alone. So I've gotten that feedback that it's helpful to know that there's someone who's got their back, that there's someone who's supporting them, people who are praying for them, knowing that they don't have to do this all by themselves.
What are the tough questions that come up? What are the tough questions, the tough topics that we have to, especially this generation, will have to face? I mean, obviously, there's nothing new under the sun, but what are the really challenging things that these students are going to have to face? Or that they're facing right now, that they're bringing with them, the questions that they're bringing.
If I'm thinking about back to our informal conversations, the two things that dominated our conversation the most, one of them was that first Friday night, and another one was a response to one of the workshops that most of the students attended. So I'll talk about Friday night first. The first thing we really got into was this concept of relativism. How do we... If I'm talking to someone who's not Christian and trying to convince them that they need to respect life in its earliest stages, where do I even start? How do I, when someone doesn't believe that there's an absolute wrong, how do I convince them that abortion is an absolute wrong? So we really encourage them. There's so many, I mean, there's so many people who have talked about this subject. I encourage them to look into Stephanie Gray. She's a wonderful resource. She's an apologist, pro-life apologist with the Center for Bioethical Reform, I believe, up in Canada. And she really emphasizes two things, asking questions and telling stories. It used to be where we could just give a very logical, rational argument and everyone would be on the same page, but that doesn't really work anymore. And so she encourages, get people to answer your questions. So ask them questions, get them thinking about it themselves, and then telling personal stories, telling real life examples and scenarios that make sense to them and make it personal to them. Those are the two things she emphasized. So that's what I told them. You know, you need to get to know the person you're talking to. Where are they coming from? Maybe they have had this experience in their past or someone they know. Where is this attitude or belief coming from? And then really start to work with them to work through that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And you bring up a really good point. You know, we're no longer living in the age where you can just present facts and someone will accept those facts, you know, present the truth, the facts, and someone will say, oh, okay, I guess it's true. And, and accept it and go on. It's no longer everything. We live in this world of relativism.
And what's, very skeptical. You know, it.
This generation has been marketed to since before they were born. People have been trying to sell them stuff before they could even talk.
I'm the same way. I watch something a doc friend of mine was asking me to watch this documentary, and my first thought was, well, who made it? You know, who funded this documentary? Why should I watch this?
Because
that skepticism is, sure. What are you really trying to tell me? How are you trying to manipulate my emotions? And so when I'm talking to students, sometimes I see that mm-hmm. guard on their face. Okay. You know, what are you really trying to sell me here?
Everything has an agenda, whether mm-hmm. it's a documentary or a comedy or something. It doesn't matter what genre it's in. Everything right. has a message. Everything has an agenda. There's some reason why we make mm-hmm. film. There's some reason why we publish books. There's right. some reason. And so this generation, yeah, has always been marketed to, has always been trying. We're always trying to sell them something. And I don't blame them for being skeptical. Mm-hmm.
And the really interesting thing I've discovered in working with students and even my own experiences, I'm not that far removed from being a student, is that so much of what the world is trying to sell us, we're just not buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the media tells us that, you know, we have this hookup culture that we're just, everyone's doing these bad things all the time. And, you know, to a certain extent that exists in certain contexts, but we have good students. We have mm-hmm. students that want to do important things. They want to help people. They want to make a difference. They're not just obsessed with all these bad things that we hear about all the time. We have genuine good hearts that we're working with. And that's just really encouraging to me. It can be so easy. And I talk to adults who are like, well, this is what, you know, it's hopeless. This is what everyone thinks. And it's not, you know, we've got kids that love God, that love life, that want to make a difference. And so our job is just to encourage them and equip mm-hmm. them as much as we can.
Hearts who have heard the word of God, who know that forgiveness of Jesus mm-hmm. and receive that forgiveness of Jesus, and by his power, by that work of the Holy Spirit, have a desire to serve in whatever ways they're given. Well, speaking of serving, mm-hmm. I know that there are a number of ways of that the students serve, but also as you are serving and in this Y for Life leadership position as the director of Y for Life, and have a number of things going on as a leader for Y for Life, out and about speaking in different places. What are some of the things? I know this summit was just a great mm-hmm. event for these students. Planning again for next year?
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. So the 2016 summit, same time of year, around the end of March?
Yep. We try to do it between spring break and Easter, try uh-huh. to fit it in that middle part as much as possible. It's hard, you know.
Sure. Exactly.
It's a busy time of year.
But... Maybe you need to put it in a more of a tropical destination,
yeah.
host it in a warmer climate.
Spring break in Florida, learn about life, you know. I don't think that would be a good
in
idea.
In Daytona, no. All right, so the summit again next year, but before then, you have some other things going on with Y for Life and Lutherans for Life.
Yeah, and I'd like to say I travel all over. Mm-hmm. With the students that I work with at the summit, my goal is to be at every campus at least once a year. So connecting with them, taking mm-hmm. them out to dinner, just maintaining that relationship. Usually we lead some kind of seminar for the students. So I'm at each campus once a year.
And what college student doesn't like to hang out over dinner?
Yeah, free food, you know. It's the hallmark of a good relationship. But I'm at the campuses, and there's several campuses I haven't been to yet mm-hmm. that I'm hoping to get to this next year. We'll try to make that happen as much as possible. But beyond that, in the summer, it's just hitting the conference circuit. So going to some youth conferences mm-hmm. around the country. I'll be attending the Higher Things in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a pleasure to meet with those students and hear their perspectives and have a chance to teach them. I'll also be at the AFLC, mm-hmm. Their youth gathering. This is the Association of Free Lutheran Church. They have a gathering in Colorado this summer, their national youth event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be talking on purity for that. So that will be interesting to share that message of chastity, and that it doesn't have to be a hard thing, and that it is possible. So we'll talk to them about that. And then for just other events, usually they're all on the calendar. So if you go on to our website, Lutherans for Life, you check out our calendar. My calendar's on there as well. Feel free to pop in. You know, some of these conferences, it's not quite possible.
But, sure.
Usually if I'm at a school or a church, you mm-hmm. feel free to pop in, and if I'm in your area.
And you'll be at National, is that right?
Mm-hmm, the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference mm-hmm. down in New Orleans. I'll just be exhibiting there, but it's always a great opportunity to connect with DCEs and other youth workers and talk about their ministries and how we can partner with them.
Very good. And then I gather in 2016, will you be at the gathering?
I will, yeah. I'm looking forward to the gathering. Hopefully we'll have a Y for Life sectional where we're in talks to make that happen. And then there's also going to be an experiential learning center with LCMS Life Ministries that Y for Life is partnering with.
That's awesome.
A chance for students to serve right there at the convention center. So,
what are some of the things that you're hoping to do with Y for Life in the future? I know that this is kind of a new venture over the last few years. What are the things you're hoping to see with Y for Life in the future that maybe aren't quite there yet, but you'd love to see someday?
Right. In the next couple years, we have a few things in development. The first thing I'm really excited to talk about, we announced it just about 2 weeks ago. We've had, I don't know how many times in the last two or three years, I've had people ask if we do internships. I work with high school students. I work with college students. What are college students looking for? They're looking for internships. And so we've been praying about it and really looking at the plausibility. What would that look like? So starting next summer, we will have a Y for Life collegiate internship program. We're hiring one intern. they will serve here in St. Louis with me, and they will basically be my shadow for the summer. So we'll work with whatever school they go to. We're going to recruit within the Concordia system to start. We're looking for upperclassmen, so students who have had a few years of experience under their belt. We'll work with their program to see if we can get credit for them. We're not quite sure how that's all going to work out. This is all in the very preliminary stages. But we'll have them have some kind of project they work with that will leave a mark in the ministry of Y for Life and the ministry of Lutherans for Life. They'll also travel with me. So I go all over the place in the summer. They'll go with me, learn what it's like to talk to people one-on-one about life issues, talk to people in ministry, answer those tough questions, spur of the moment.
Sure.
I'll be right there with them, so it won't be scary. But they'll get to go all over the place, including the gathering. So that will be, it'll be helpful for me to have another set of hands during the gathering. But they'll also get that experience of what it's like to talk to thousands of high school students about a very important topic. So.
Well, very good. That's exciting. And we can find out more. Now, I think I saw that on Facebook not too long ago. Where can we find out more? Is the contest still open on the video?
The contest is still open. Wheat Ridge Ministries is doing a video contest for their Burst grant, so their young adult grant program. And I received a Burst grant when we first started Y for Life 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And so this is a what would you do with $1,000 contest. And so what we would do with $1,000 is help fund that new internship program. So you can go vote on their Facebook page, the video Wheat Ridge's Facebook page. The link is also on our Facebook page, Lutherans for Life, and on our website and yforlife.org.
Very good.
You can find the link and vote for the video. but we don't have a lot of information yet because we just announced it, but we will hopefully have all of the application and details up later this fall.
So stay posted.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned so that you can keep up on that information. And I bet our friends over at LCMSU would probably help get the word out about that too. They do a fine job of keeping us informed about what's going on in campus ministry for our college students. And I could see how that could be a good opportunity for a student in a number of fields, whether it's communications or biology or one of the, like Lydia, nursing or something like that, or a church work student. I don't know, other topics that other subjects or other programs might be a good match for.
I'd like to tell my students I was not a ministry student. I was a history major. this was not necessarily where I thought God leading me, but he takes us where he wants us to go. And I couldn't be more grateful and feel more blessed to be doing what I'm doing. But you don't have to be a full-time church worker to speak for life in your context. Although we're hoping through this internship program, we'll be developing those full-time pro-life life-affirming members of our community.
So. Very good. Well, Laura, where can we find out more information about Y for Life?
You can always find out more information at www.yforlife.org. That's the letter Y, the number 4, life.
Very good. Yforlife.org. Laura Davis, the director of Y for Life at Lutherans for Life. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Great to have you in studio.
Thanks so much.
Thy Strong Word up next on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.